Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to this January 16th, 2024 regular meeting of Orrville City Council. We'll begin this evening in prayer. Do we have somebody? Yeah. Oh, okay, yeah. Oh, sorry, yeah. Pastor Mopel.
Let's pray. Father, we as we begin this meeting tonight, we want to acknowledge you as God. And we invite you into this space. We're thankful for your presence with us and that you're a God who is for us. We ask your blessing just on this meeting, on the agenda tonight. Give these city leaders your wisdom and direction in all things. We ask for your protection for our firefighters, EMTs, and police officers. And we pray for peace in our workplaces, neighborhoods, and schools. And Father, for those who are hurting tonight, whether it be from an illness or something else that's going on in their life, Lord, we pray for your comfort and healing. Above all, Father, we pray that your kingdom would come and that your will would be done on earth as it is in heaven. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. That was Pastor John Mopus from Fairville Christian Church. Thank you for being here. If the clerk could please call the roll.
Yes. Handwork.
Here.
Aspiris.
He's excused.
Lax.
Here.
Davies.
Here.
Carr.
Here.
Shanklin.
Here.
Squirrel.
Here.
You should have received a copy of the meeting minutes from the January 2nd, 2024 meeting of Orrville City Council. We have a motion to approve the minutes.
Mr. Hanwork, approve the minutes.
Mr. Hanwork moves. Second. I believe it was Mr. Davies who seconds.
Aspiris. Lax?
Yes.
Davies?
Yes.
Carr?
Yes.
Shanklin?
Yes.
Squirrel?
Yes.
Handwork?
Yes.
Motion passes.
Thank you. We have no public comments scheduled for this evening, so we'll move on in our agenda to our standing committee reports. And we'll begin with our Finance Committee. Mr. Lax, good evening.
Thank you, Mr. President. The Finance Committee has not met, and I have no report.
Thank you, sir. In our Parks and Recreation Committee, Mr. Handwork.
Thank you, Mr. President. Parks and Rec has not met, therefore I have no report tonight.
All right, thank you. Our Planning Committee, Ms. Carr.
Thank you, Mr. President. The Planning Committee has not met. I have no report.
Thank you. And our Ordinance and Personnel Committee, Ms. Squirrel.
Mr. President, Ordinance and Personnel has not met, so I have no report.
Thank you. Our Transportation Committee, Mr. Shanklin.
Thank you, Mr. President. Transportation Committee has not met, therefore I have no report.
You've moved on me, so I'm going to be looking in the wrong place for a little bit. All right. Our Utilities Committee, Mr. Davies.
Thank you, Mr. President. Utilities Committee has not met. I have no report for you tonight.
Thank you, sir. We have no special committee reports, so we'll move on to our administrative reports. And we'll begin with Mayor Plarman and State of the City.
I would like to go.
You may go yes. There.
I had the option of sitting down, but I've never sat down and addressed a group in school. So, good evening, Orrville citizens, City Council, and administration. It is a great honor to serve as Orrville's mayor and to report on the state of the city, with this being my first report. This is guided by the 3 R's of respect, relationship, resources, in order to maintain fiscal responsibility, public safety, and providing our city services to meet our citizens' needs. I'd like to give a special thanks to previous mayors for all their contributions. I especially look up to the mayors that have served during my lifetime since 1967. And I would like to thank Mayor Hanmark for his service and dedication to our city and for his mentorship over the past year. We will have other reports from our directors, our police chief, our fire chief, service department, so this report will only highlight areas while each of our future reports will go into further details. We've already had an exciting start to the year with the swearing-in of new council members and welcoming our new police chief, Corey Seiler. I would also like to thank our retired police chief, Matt Burtbeck, for his outstanding service. We appreciate our Orville Police Department for their commitment to keeping our citizens safe. There are many things that we're grateful for our Orville Police Department, including their visibility, community-oriented approach, and great relationships with our citizens and quick responses and decision-making. We are very fortunate to be served by the Orville Fire Department under the leadership of Fire Chief Chris Bishop. 2023 saw a requisition for a new fire truck and many, many service calls, and a successful transition plan from a volunteer force to part-time firefighters has been implemented and has already reduced our response time from last year's average of 7 minutes, 22 seconds to 3 minutes, 36 seconds. In the area of finances, the city continues to maintain its financial strength, with the general fund experiencing a notable growth in income tax revenue when compared to 2022. While there has been a slight increase in employer withholding from 2022, the impacts of remote work are still apparent when compared to the 10-year average. Fortunately, the robust revenue from business tax collection and has successfully counterbalanced the historical loss in withholding. With strong fund balances entering the pandemic and prudent spending, we are confident that we will have navigated through the most challenging phase of our revenue losses associated with the pandemic. It is important to note that our city has maintained a tax rate of 1% since 1968, when I was just a year old, among 437 RITA municipalities. With a population of under 10,000, only 8 cities share an income tax rate of 1% or less. With increasing inflation rates, maintaining the level of our services our citizens have come to expect remains a growing challenge given this low tax rate. And then our finance director will review the fiscal 2023 results in greater detail in her annual report. The park continued to enjoy new improvements in 2023 with the opening of a new skate park, which is enjoyed by our youth for bikes and skateboards. And this became a reality this year after hard work of council members, which had its first discussions 20 years ago. Our dog park was moved and a bridge will be installed to improve access to the skate park. Our streets are regularly evaluated by a system called the Pavement Condition Rating, which is called the PRC. And this past year, Ellis Street was resurfaced with asphalt and curbs along with improvements to portions of Sunset and Elm Street. This year, we have projects on Washington Boulevard, from High to Church, McGill, Bell Street, with some concrete repair to the east section of Hostetler, and diamond grounding on Crown Hill Road. In the area of economic development, the city's position is always to support our current businesses as they evolve. For example, the J.M. Smucker's Company recently completed a 29,000 square foot research and development for their Uncrustable line. McElroy has expanded manufacturing space, and Jarrett is just completing their third facility, which we'll do a ribbon cutting next week on. And then we even have partnerships with our Beckert Corporation and GMEG for a 35,000 square foot warehouse. Our Orville area Chamber of Commerce continues to highlight new established businesses in 2023, including Larson Financial, Apple Creek Banking, Junipers, Runyon's, and Geyser Beauty. And even today, there is a ribbon cutting ceremony welcoming Orville's newest business, Wrench Works. We also enjoyed new businesses such as Orville Scratch Steakhouse, El Cerrito, and Or Pizza and Subs. Our Orville utilities continue to be a valuable resource in the area of public or power, drinking water, and water treatment. The power plant was proudly running today. If you drove past the power plant, you could see the smokestacks working for generation today. As most days, we purchase our power from the grid. We're fortunate to have a dedicated utility staff that keeps our lights on and our costs competitive while meeting our EPA and other regulatory requirements. And this is a big task with ever-changing regulations and keeping current with insurances. Our HR and directors continue to replace positions in the city with qualified candidates. Our job postings are always posted on our website, and we are currently looking for 2024 summer help applicants to fill out positions at Orr Park, Orr Pole Street, Cemetery, Power Plant, our wastewater and water departments. And please spread the word, as in 1984, 40 years ago, I applied for my first job as a lifeguard at Orr Pole. I did check in with HR today. We have 20 applications already in for summer help, and we're going to need around 70, so please spread that word. We continue to have positive relationships with our schools, our public library, our hospital, and the Boys and Girls Club. Many different organizations locally, such as our Orville Area Chamber of Commerce, the Wayne Economic Development Council, WarCog Dispatch, on the state level with Ohio Municipal League, the Ohio Mayors Association, and the Ohio Municipal Electric Association, and even at the national level with our American Municipal Power. We've had very successful 2023 events, such as our Memorial Day program, our Ream Performing Arts performances, the Firefighters 4th of July celebration and fireworks, the Orville Lions Club Rib Fest and Music Fest, the Fall Festival, and our Home for the Holidays. And we look forward to these events as well as the April 8th total solar eclipse and much more in 2024. In closing, decisions will have to be made in 2024 in balance with supporting our community in order for us to grow. Together we can make a difference by using information and collaboration to best serve our community needs. I challenge all of us to make Orville a better place. Thank you and have a great year.
Clap your way out. I don't think you get applause very much as a mayor. I don't know.
So I need to ask for it.
You just have to have that satisfaction of knowing you're doing a great job. Next on our agenda is our Safety Service Director, Mr. Wheeler.
Thank you, Mr. President. Just a couple items before I hand it off. Trash pickup for this week is not delayed. It's our usual Thursday pickup. Also, Officer Nate Mamoni has been voted by his peers as Officer of the Year for the 7th time. So congratulations to Officer Mamoni. Finally, I'd like to now hand it over to the team director for the Orville Area Boys and Girls Club. Team program, Nicolina Naletti. The good news is she's going to be giving a presentation. The bad news is you'll have to move to this side in order to see the presentation. So if you'll bear with us, we'll get it set up and give you time to relocate, and we'll hand it over to Nicolina. Do what? What do you mean?
Where's the TVs?
Oh, actually, I have the TVs. The TVs have been sitting for a while. I actually think they sat so long, she pushed so long. Well, it broke down from the station, so they
didn't know another big increase.
Yeah, I didn't set it up.
The remote for this.
Oh, you got the screen.
However, we are coming up, and we may have passed that. They do have to give us notice of the progress. Maybe a 60 days notice or something. We are coming up on a.
Doesn't sound like.
After that, here we can fall back on a little bit of the no news is good news.
Speeding up, yes.
It's just a business expense.
Oh, there it is.
Do you want me to shut the other set of lights down?
Yeah, at least the center row.
Close. Oh, there we go.
Excellent.
Good evening, everyone. Hey. So, I was asked to come speak a little bit about the teen program and things going on at the Oroville Area Boys and Girls Club. I will start out with our organization's mission statement, which is to support, enable, and develop youth and teens to reach their full potential. With that being said, we've got a lot going on to help achieve those goals. So just tonight, I'm going to do a teen program at a glance. I want to talk a little bit about teen engagement, a little bit about our programming, the learning experiences we've had the opportunity to take advantage of in the past year, and goals moving forward for the future. So as far as engagement goes, I don't know that I could be any happier right now. We have seen a continued steady growth in teen program attendance at the teen center. I have been there since, July 2022. And when I first started, I was seeing maybe 18 to 20 teens a day in the teen program. Since the beginning of the school year this year, we have had minimum 30 a day. And on a busy day when we're doing an activity like our Point League basketball tournaments, upwards of 50 kids. So a lot of moving and shaking. Right now we have approximately 70 teen memberships, so youth enrolled in the teen program. And like I said, average of 30 is usually between 30 and 40 on a daily basis. In addition to that, one thing I'm really excited and proud of is we now have members who are attending the teen program side of things, but also now staff members on the Kid Stop side. So we started trying to create a track of youth who we see having potential on our side of the program and putting them on a career transition to start working at the club. So I'm really proud of the ones that we have who have gone that way, and I'm really excited to see what we can do with that in the future. Teen programming. We have a lot of program going on at the club right now. Within the past couple months, we've actually had a big transition to the way that we approach programming at the club. Before, what we did was we had rooms based on age groups, kind of like a classroom setting, kindergarten through the teen center. And each group stayed in their age group in that classroom and did all of these different programs in that room. About November, I believe it was, we transitioned to having like age-based classroom spaces to dedicated programming spaces. So now our programming spaces are all in those classrooms. We have arts program, STEM program, what we call brain games, which is, you know, games and different ways of getting them thinking, helping with their educational goals. We have a new media room, which is very exciting. We spent a lot of time painting it, redoing it. The focus for that room is teaching the kids how to use technology, kind of in line with the STEM thing. they are going to be responsible for helping put out some information, things that we'd like to advertise at the club, doing videos. We have a podcast for getting started, which they are very cool, or very interested in. It's really cool equipment. We tried it out, and it's not as easy as it sounds, but it's a lot of fun. We have an esports room, which is kind of a video game room, you know, you gotta have it, the kids love it. And then a lot of our triple play programming, which is, you know, your basketball, your sports, your getting moving stuff. We do have some programming specific to the teen center, so our kids participate in all of that programming, but we do have teen-specific programs that we've been working on. Like I mentioned earlier, Career Launch. I've been trying to work with not only the members of the teen program, but our staff members, and trying to get them set up, you know, for their career path down the road. Do you want to go to college? Do you want to get into the working field? How do I fill out a job application? Do you want to start here and go step by step through that process? We had the opportunity to partner with Akron Children's Hospital, and we had a nurse on their staff come and do once in the summer and this school year, Catch My Breath, which is an e-cigarette and jewel prevention program, which we had the youth involved in. A lot of them were very receptive to that, and we have seen positives come from that programming that's been offered. We have the opportunity over the past year to partner with Boys and Girls Club of America and our local Family Dollar to do a program they called Doing More, which was focusing on community-based issues or issues that teens are experiencing in their everyday life. And we had the opportunity to work on a project and then go share it in Washington, D.C. at the Summit for America's Youth. Our group of teens focused on food insecurity within the community, and we were able to partner with the local Salvation Army and do a canned food drive. We were able to successfully raise over 400 food items, which we then donated to the Salvation Army. So that was a really neat project to kind of get our kids involved in activism and altruism and kind of having a lens outside of their own individual being. And then lastly, we have taken a lot of focus on our suicide prevention and mental health programming. We have contracted with outside mental health providers from Encompass and Chrysalis. We have therapists coming in and doing group programming in the club. We had suicide prevention programming done that was sponsored by Nationwide Children's Hospital. The curriculum was set out by them. That was run in the summer. And then most recently, we have added a new member to our team. His name is Noodle, and he is the club therapy dog. So taking steps there to help the teens identify and address their mental health concerns. So here we have a couple of photos of the programming, our canned food drive, our podcasting. On the end there, we had local artist Kristen Lawson come in and do a paint and sip for our art programming. Noodle was there too, he did not paint. we have our Point League sports where we do pillow polo and basketball where the kids are on teams, they are drafted, there's general managers and commissioners, and it is quite a big to-do. I recently retired from my rank as a general manager because I realized it was a lot to balance doing my responsibilities as a team director and managing all the trade requests I was getting from the team. So that's kind of the programming there. We're focusing on. And next we have learning experiences, which I would argue are probably the teens' favorite part of things. I might be a little bit biased because I think it's really cool too. But we've been able to facilitate both in and out of club enrichment experiences for kids. When I first came on as the team director of the program, it was the beginning of summer and I didn't quite know what I was getting into, and you know, getting my feet wet, I just decided I'm going to take these kids and do things that I would like to do this summer, new experiences. I took kids canoeing. We went and we played airsoft, and it was a lot of fun, and it gave these kids a lot of opportunities that they might not otherwise have access to. So I'd like to continue that and give them experiences both in and outside of our community. So some of the highlights of the year have been our trip to Washington, D.C., which we took in July. We were there for about 4 days. It was hot, but it was a lot of fun, a lot of walking, got a lot of steps in. The introduction of the club therapy dog. You know, we have youth who are well-versed in animals and some who don't even have a pet at home. So that's been kind of a novel experience for some of the youth. We did the Canned Food Drive project, like I mentioned, and some fun summer field trips as well. So here's some of the places that we have gone. Washington, we go to the movies a lot. I try and get them out and see movies because that's a new experience for a lot of them too in the day and age of streaming. We got to go to the Alice Noble Ice Arena, Johnson's Woods. This year we did paintball instead of airsoft. So I like airsoft better. Bowling or Valley Creamery, we took a group to Cedar Point, which I was told I had a group of ride warriors. And then what I realized is none of them had been on a roller coaster before. We did spend a lot of time in Snoopy Land, but you gotta start somewhere, right? So I'm hoping maybe this summer I'll have some ride warriors. And then here are some of the pictures of those. Roller skating, our highlights on the bottom there of our trip to DC. There's some of these at the Salvation Army making those canned food donations, paintballing, yeah, and noodle.
All right, and then finally, as far as goals for the teen program, I would like to continue to focus on teen-specific programming. I want to know what the youth want. I am a woman in her mid-30s. You know, I got a finger on the pulse, but it is a light pulse from where I am compared to where they are. So trying to make sure that I am anticipating the things that they want to learn, what is inspirational and important to them, what is going to be value for them entering the world. I would also like to continue partnership opportunities with local businesses and organizations. One of the projects that I will be working on this next year is a life skills class. In working with the youth who are now staff members at the club, you know, remembering back to that time and realizing, you know, they may not know how to mop. They don't know how to run a load of towels. They don't know how to do these things that we as adults take for granted. And they may not have someone to show them how to do those things. So with that being said, working through some of those basic life skills once a week. You want to come learn how to do this thing? Let's go change a tire on the golf cart. Let's start a load of towels in the laundry room here. And hopefully opportunities to partnership with places in the community to teach some of those skills. And then finally, my big goal is to identify innovative ways to provide support to youth in the community outside of the traditional club setting. In today's day and age, you know, they are always connected with their phones and with technology. They don't necessarily have to come to a location to have that interaction like some of us did back in our time. You had a physical location, but that's the only time you got to see your friends. You called and they weren't home, well, you didn't get to talk to them. So kind of trying to identify ways that we can still have an impact on these youth who may not feel a need or have an interest to come to the traditional club setting. And especially with our older kids, it does get a little bit tricky because we are trying to transition these youth. You know, they get to a certain age, they want to work. And we'd like to keep them at the club where we can help them grow and learn and teach them new skills. But what about the ones who don't? How can we, as the Boys and Girls Club, meet the needs of that teen target audience without necessarily having them come to an after-school type program? So I have several ideas. I am kind of tossing around. I've been talking to a lot of our staff members who are those juniors and seniors and trying to hopefully within this next year come up with some good concrete plans that we can lay in place to have those youth feel connected, to have them feel like they have a safety net, to have them feel like they have adults and supports within the community that they can trust. All right. I don't know if there's any questions. If anyone wants more information or is interested in becoming involved at the Boys and Girls Club, there's my email address. You can send me an email or call. I'm not in my office a lot. I am typically out on the floor in the middle of the beast. Yes?
I have a question for you.
Yeah.
Appreciate the presentation. It was very well laid out.
Thank you.
You understand. You've been enrolled for, you said, about a year and a half?
I think it will be 2 years in July.
Two.
Yeah.
Okay. So all these things you've started, what would you say would be one of the biggest misses or one of those things you look back and say, we still need this thing or this location, this program? What is it that you're you're still needing?
One of the biggest needs, honestly, is a dedicated teen space. I think one of our biggest barriers is that in the club setting, you have the Kid Stop program, which is kindergarten through sixth grade. The feedback that I've gotten from the teens is sometimes it does. It feels like a supervision. There are little kids running around. They don't necessarily have the sense of autonomy or having it be just a cool hangout space when you've got their peers who are watching little kids or little kids coming into their space. So I think that's one thing that we've been trying to manage is how can we make it feel that this is a teen-designated space for them to relax and have that chance outside of what you would describe as the traditional before and after school care type program.
And currently, is that all in that classroom setting at the end of the new addition? So
those are programming spaces, but before we start our programming, each group is grouped into a classroom like that. But just because of the open layout of the club and because of the way it is structured, you have different age groups coming through using the cafe space, which is joined with our teen space. You know, using the gym space at the same time, there's a lot of overlap and in and out. It isn't necessarily set up in a way that allows them a little bit of remove from some of the younger members there.
Thank you.
Anybody else?
What would be your solution to the dedicated
space and money? No, we have tried to take some steps in the way we structured the club to make it feel less like a thoroughfare passing through for the younger kids. It's not perfect. It has improved a lot. Before, the teen center was just kind of everyone was cutting through the middle to get from point A to point B, and now we've done a really good job of making sure, like, you know, it may take a little longer to do the outside L, but it's important for those teens to have that sense of their own space than having little kids running willy-nilly through. Unfortunately, I don't think there's an easy solution to that one because it is a matter of space, it is a matter of finances, but we're trying to make it work, yeah.
Would that, you foresee that space being right at the club, or could it be someplace else in town?
I don't have any kind of preconceived notion. It's more of an idea. Really, the only thing I've thought about is having an open floor plan. One of the downsides of the way that the club is set up for the teen program is these are not allowed to be in any spaces unsupervised. And a lot of the rooms are classroom-type settings or hallway-type settings. If we were in a room like this, I, as a staff member, could sit up at the front and be able to observe everyone, but allowing them their space and their independence, you know, in those moments. When we have a lot of classroom settings, you know, I can't say, yeah, definitely go to the music room and play with it, or go to the art room and do what you want to do. So maybe something more of an open layout concept where we could sit back a little bit and still have that space, but not one that they necessarily feel like they have to be babysat or have their hand held, like, oh, here, let me take you, allowing them some of that independence. Well, thank you, everybody, for listening, for your time this evening. I really appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. I was a little jittery. It took me an extra cup of coffee to stay awake till 7:30 tonight.
There you go. That's what I offered. That's the stuff I love to do. I'll be in touch.
Wonderful. Thank you very much. And we will continue now on our agenda to our Utilities Director, Mr. Brennan.
Thank you, Mr. President. Things remain quiet in the utility areas. The mayor pointed out if you've driven past the generation facility, there is some activity going on this week. We are out addressing grid peaking needs since the weekend. We expect they're possibly seeing some high demand tonight. Tomorrow morning, we will be operating probably through, in some capacity, through next week until temperatures improve on there. I did look at how we fared in 2023, and for those that may be new to council, not understanding what one of the primary roles of the generation plant is these days, since the EPA changed some of its regulations on us. Back in 2016 and 2017, that kind of got us out of the day-to-day business, and now more or less just operating during peak and emergency needs. But the plant's major role this year is to be able to operate during those periods. And when we can, we offset a lot of fees that we have to pay the transmission system owners and operators that deliver the energy from our various projects that we have through AMP, and is the segue for a lot of our market purchases, which represent maybe 30% of the energy that we now have to buy from the market since we're not generating that ourselves. Last year we paid about $9.2 million in fees to these third-party entities, and the only thing we get for that is the fact that though that energy is allowed to flow into the plant and redistribute it out to our customers during those periods, we don't have any control over what those fees are. Every year they go up and up, but by that plant being able to operate during those peak periods, sometime during the winter, majority of the time it's during the summer, we offset about $8.7 million of those fees and credits last year. Otherwise, if we weren't doing that, we would need to make rate adjustments. We bill out about $25-30 million in of our revenues come from our sales of energy, and you can just add another $9 million of that to be direct pass-throughs on our customers. So the reason that plant is operating today and tomorrow is an attempt to offset those high fees that are pretty much passed on to us by others, because we're not out in that transmission world, so to speak. So other than that, that's all we have to comment on this evening. I'll take any questions that you might have. Thank you.
All right. Thank you very much. Our finance director, Ms. Strimley.
Thank you, Mr. President. Just one quick item this evening. Council should have received their final investment report for 2023. No action is required by council, but I just wanted to make a few comments for our new councilman. This is a summary of the money that the city has invested at year end. We do have an investment policy that we follow. I'll send everyone a copy of that just for your reference for the future. And I'll go into these in more detail during my annual report. But in the meantime, when you're reviewing, if you have any questions, just feel free to call me. That's all I have.
All right. Thank you. Our law director, Mrs. Kirkfry.
Thank you, Mr. President. I don't have a report this evening. I do want to just thank Nicolina for her presentation. I'm a board member of the Boys and Girls Club and have been for a long time. I'm also a Boys and Girls Club mom. I have two foster kids who attend today. In fact, My teen, when I picked him up today, begged me to let him stay because he didn't want to miss the cooking competition. So it truly is a cool place that kids want to be. And we really appreciate the investment that the city has made in that program in particular. I think it really is making a difference in the teen programming and the teen activities in the city of Orrville. So that's all I have. Thank you.
Thank you. For my report, I have a note here that our council clerk has a liquor license to present.
Actually, I have two.
Oh, two. Okay.
I have one for the Fortis Group, LLC, which is actually for the Old Carolina at 1330 North Main Street. And then I have one for the, and bear with me on the name, Taqueria Pupuseria El Cerrito, LLC at 135 Hostetler Road.
Very good. Could you say it one more time? All right, very good. Council doesn't need to take action on that. They have the option of conducting a hearing. Mm-hmm. Council never does, but it's something that you're made aware of that those two liquor licenses are being applied for. So. All right. Thank you very much. We have no old business or new business. So for new members, that happens maybe once a year, if that. But. So we can move on our agenda to any comments you may have for the good of the order. Yes, Dr. Shanker.
I just want to put my appreciation out there for the street department. They did a fantastic job with the streets. It's cold. It's hard to deal with, as I learned. So it takes a lot of time and prep to get that stuff ready to go, and appreciate their hard work.
Thank you.
Yeah, I have a comment.
Yes, Mayor Plyman.
I'd like to also thank the Orville Boys and Girls Club, Nicoletta, for your presentation. And I also serve on the board, and it's great to see the work and your enthusiasm, and to actually see a picture of Noodle and work. Also, this weekend, Mr. Vance and I had a great opportunity to attend an ordination of Pastor Gary DeHart, and that was a real special time, and very proud of him, very proud moment in our city to attend that event.
I believe there's a proclamation there.
Oh, there was a proclamation as well. Mm-hmm. So we read that, or I read that.
It was Gary DeHart Day in Orville. Yeah.
On Sunday. Mm-hmm.
Very good. Anyone else? I thought I saw another hand.
I was just telling you that the mayor had something.
Oh, okay. Very good.
She's behind you.
Yes. Thank you. Okay. Just elbow me. Yeah. All right. Would anyone like to make a motion to adjourn?
Sir.
Davies moves. Just Carr seconds.
Lass.
Yes.
Davies.
Yes.
Carr.
Yes.
Shanklin.
Yes.
Squirrel.
Yes.
Hamburg.
Yes.
Motion passes.
Very good. That will conclude this tonight's meeting. Orrville City Council will meet once again on the first Monday of February. Thank you. Good evening.